Bekutte Sichas, Chelik Yud Aleph, Parsha Yisrei, Sicha Aleph. Yishaychas la'akozah b'parsha Seinu, in connection with what is written in our Parsha, in Parsha Yisrei, it says in the Parsha V'yemi Yisrei Baruch Hashem, Yisrei said, Blessed is Hashem Asher Hitzil Eschem, that saved you, mitachas Yad Mitzrayim, and so on. Omer Razal, our sages say about this, G'nayu hu l'moshe v'shishim ribuy. It's uncomplimentary for Moshe Rabbeinu and for the 600,000 Yidden, Shaloi Omru Baruch, that they didn't say Baruch, Atshaba Yisrei, until Yisrei had to come along, the Omer Baruch Hashem, and he said Baruch Hashem. So we have to understand about this. Ma'u apir Shaloi Omru Baruch, what does it mean that the Yidden didn't say Baruch, that Moshe didn't say Baruch? Hare Moshe B'nei Yisrael Omru Shira, La Hashem. The Yidden, Moshe Rabbeinu and the Yidden set up an entire Shira after Kriyas Yamsuf, Achanetze Kriyas Yamsuf. So what does it mean they didn't say Baruch? Ve'ein lefarash ha'gnayu shalei omru Baruch al Yetzias Mitzrayim. And you can say that what the Medrash means, that they didn't say Baruch, means they didn't say Baruch on leaving at Mitzrayim. They did say it on Kriyas Yamsuf, but they should have said it earlier by Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because if that's what it means, im kena ika chasam naseva, it's missing the whole point. It should have specified. They didn't say Baruch on Yetzias Mitzrayim. That has to be specified. So therefore, we can say that that's what it means. So there's something else going on. The Yuvan says, so this can be understood better, b'haktim ha'shukasa b'zayir, by first explaining what it says in the Zayir, the atchalei bo Yisrei v'haydala kodesh baruch hu, le'nitna teira li'yisrael. Until Yisrei came along and said Baruch Hashem and thanked Hashem, the Torah was not given to the Yidden until Yisrei came along and thanked Hashem. And when Yisrei came along and he said Baruch Hashem Asher Yitzil Eschem V'Goymer, blessed is Hashem that He saved you. Ata Yadaiti, now I know Ki Godol Hashem Mikol Elokim, that Hashem is greater than all gods, etc. Aliday Zeh, by saying this, by Yisrei saying this, Paul the Istalik Akarah, the Kutchabricha Biakare, Ilavatata, he caused that Hashem should come down in His full glory, upper and lower, Labasar, Yoav, Raisa, Bishlimu, and then after that, He gave the Torah in its completeness. So the Zohar says that until Yisrei came along, the Torah wasn't given to the Yidden. Only because of what Yisrei said, then it was possible for Hashem to give the Torah. So it's difficult to understand. That after the greatness in holiness and kedusha of Moshe and Aaron and of all the 600,000 Yidden, with all of that holiness, until Yisrei came along, lo yaya masvik adayin, it wasn't enough holiness yet, shetinosan ha-Torah li-Yisrael, that the Torah should be given to the Yidden. V'lei zocholah, and that they were not able to merit to receive the Torah, ela achar shegam Yisrei, hoyda l'kosh baruch hu, only after also Yisrei came along and thanked Hashem. V'omik kigod l'Hashem ha-kolim, and said that Hashem is greater than all other gods. So what is the meaning of this? So this will be understood b'haktim hakusha, by first explaining the question, the following question. B'tchilas ha-parsha kosov, at the beginning of this parsha it's written, v'yishma Yisrei koyim Midyan chayisem Moshe, and Yisrei, the koyhen of Midyan, the prince, let's call it, of Midyan, the father-in-law of Moshe, he heard eskol asher osa l'kim, everything that Hashem had done. So we have to understand about this pasuk. Ma mashmeinu akosuv kana kosuv bad gosha zu shehoya koyin midyan. Why does the Torah emphasize, say that Yisrei, who was Yisrei, he was the prince of Midyan? It should have simply said Yisrei, who was Yisrei, the father-in-law of Moshe. We all know that. So therefore, that's enough to identify who he is. Why does it have to also identify him as the koyin of Midyan? But then another question. In the words Kaya Midyan, there are two interpretations to that word. Aleph, one is Kaya Meloshin Sar. Kaya means the Lord or the Prince. That he was the guy in charge of Midyan. Beis, Koyen l'Avodah Zarah, that he was a priest to Avodah Zarah. Ure'ei Rashi lahalan, and we could see this in Rashi, Shehoya Makeh b'chol Avodah Zarah Shebo'olam, that he actually was familiar with every single Avodah Zarah in the entire world. Well, the Pirush Hashenah, so therefore, according to the second interpretation, Shaya Kaima Labai Dezara, that this is, that identifies him as a priest, Tamua B'Yoser. That leaves even a greater question. Is the Torah trying to point out faults of Yisrael, the father in law of Moshe, by calling him a priest, identifying him as a priest to Labai Dezara? Or Befrat Shemitaychem Pashasein and Nirish Akabana Lehepech? Especially that if from the from what the Pasha seems to be saying about him, it seems that it's trying to praise him and talk in his praise, not the opposite. So why identify him as the Kayan Midyan, as a priest, if we're trying to speak complimentary about him? Babir Bazetu, so to explain this, the Be'emes, like Ba Kosum Betayrezek Kayan Midyan Lahafchis as Chashivusis al Yisrael. Obviously, the Torah is not trying to diminish his importance by identifying him as a priest. But to the contrary, rather to describe his importance in Midyan in the past. So therefore, since he was so important to Midian and had all this honor and glory in Midian, and even so, he came to the desert to become a Yid. That brings out the greatness of that even more. His heart pushed him to go out to the Midbar, to the desert, a place which is devoid of any habitation and so on, as the desert is, and he came to hear the words of Torah. So the Torah is trying to say that he was such an important person in Midian, he had everything in Midian, and yet he left all that and he came to the desert to hear Torah. Because also according to the second meaning of Koyin, that he was a priest, it still shows that he was a great person, meaning to say that he understood the worship and the philosophy of every single Avodah Zarah out there. That it hitchilas ta'osim shalat toyim v'anitpolim l'Avodah Zarah ba be'ikir al yidei havana v'asaga. Because the beginning of Avodah Zarah, how did people begin to follow Avodah Zarah? First, it came with a philosophy, and there was a thought process to it. As Rambam says, Sha'amru, that they, their philosophy was as follows. They said, since Hashem created all of these constellations and stars and so on, the Galgalim and the orbits, Lahanigas Oilam, in order to run the world with them, since Hashem created them to run the world, so therefore they deserve that we should praise them and so on, to give them honor. The Zeuratzen Akel, and that this would be what Hashem would want, that we should show honor to His creation. Kloimar, in other words, Afal Pishakenu Be'emes. And although this is taka true, Shashpas Achayis Elokisnim Shechas Ba'ba El Mazah Gashmi Alidei Kacham Mazolais, it is true taka that Hashem bestows His blessing on the world through the sun and the moon and the constellations and so on. K'maymer Azal, as our sages tell us, Ein Lecha Eser L'mata She'ein L'mazel M'mayla, that there is no blade of grass even down here which doesn't have its counterpart, its mazel in the heaven, in the above, Hamakabai, which strikes him, V'ayim L'gadel, and tells him to grow. In other words, that there is influence from the constellations and the mazolas and so on every single individual blade of grass. So that's true. Afal became even so, also lechabdon, it's prohibited for us to show any honor and to the constellations for this reason. Ki ein lahem shum bechira beratzon mishalem, because they have no choice in the matter. It's not that they choose to do anything. Behem rakke garzim yadachaita, they are merely like a hammer in the hand of the builder. or a hat, an axe in the hand of the chopper. Lasses could say Malamachan Lakosh Baruch to do the will of Hashem. So just as it would be no sense for someone to thank a hammer because it built him a shelf, you have to thank the person that is wielding the hammer, the carpenter, not the hammer, because the hammer has no option, has no choice, is not doing anything. So also all the stars and the moon and so on, they have no choice. They are merely tools in the hand of Hashem. So therefore, this is part of the philosophy where the Avodah Zarah, the people that worship Avodah Zarah, made their mistake. But it came with a philosophy originally. And just like there are intermediaries in this world, like a chavim ha-mazalas, the tools that Hashem uses, like the stars and the moon and so on, through whom the flow of energy comes to the world, Hashem uses them to pass down the energy. And the truth is that they are completely bottled in Metzias. They have no role in it other than being the tools in Hashem's hands. And anyone that attributes any type of power to them, or any that imagines that they have rule the world in any way, that is the definition of Avodah Zarah. In the same way, there are angels, whether they are in the world of Yetziro or the world of Bria. As it says in the Pasuk, that they higher upon higher are the guards, meaning Gvayim Aleim, and even higher than them. Speaking about the Malachim, but Gam Sham also there, Ba'olam HaYosef, in the very highest worlds, Ha'azhara L'das, Shehem Rakegazim V'Adachaytze Bay, even the angels have to be understood that they are merely tools in the hand of Hashem, and that we attribute no power to them, and therefore we don't pray to angels, and we don't show them any honor and respect. That would also be part an expression of Avodah Zarah. But Adarabah, and to the contrary, when we talk about the angels, Kol Shama Mutsoyim Heim Madrega Nailus Yaser, the higher up in spiritual power these intermediaries are, like angels, Yesha Lulius Yaser Litizbaza, there is a greater possibility to make the mistake, because it's difficult to make a mistake that a tree is a god. It's still difficult to imagine that the sun is a god, even though many have made those mistakes. But it's a little more subtle, and it's more easily mistaken that an angel is a god. That's closer. In other words, it is more spiritual, and therefore the mistake could be made even more easily. The Zewa Pirush, and this is what is meant, Shahoye Yisra Maka B'chol HaVedah Zarah Shavaylam, that he knew and understood every Avodah Zarah in the world. What that means is, Haina Shahaisa La Yediyah V'Asaga B'Cholam HaMutzayim, that he had a good understanding of all these levels of intermediaries. Shabachola Eilamis Adla Maila Maila, in every world he understood the world of the angels and the many worlds of the angels till the very highest levels. Ela, however, Shabi Yisakayim Midyon Tov Yikiram Kim Mutzayim Sheshlam Kayach V'Shiltein. While he was a priest in Midian, he made the mistake of understanding their high stature of the angels, and he took them as having independent power. The Zuya Avodah Zarah, and that is, of course, Avodah Zarah. That's why he was a Kaimer L'Avodah Zarah. But still, the intellect, the intelligence, the philosophy that he possessed speaks greatly about his great intellect. So from this we understand how great he was in understanding these things. Only he made a very fundamental mistake. So from this we understand very well that by the Pasuk describing him as the priest of Midian, is trying to describe his importance, how great he was, how intelligent he was, how well he understood these things. That he was an important person, an honored person in Midian, and he was in a position of honor in the world. b'muvan hagashmi, in the literal sense that he was a prince, l'pirush ha'alav shel kohen midyan, according to the first interpretation of the word kohen, v'gam hayah kohen l'avodah zarah, also he was a priest, makir b'chol avodah zarah, meaning he understood the depth and the philosophy of every avodah zarah, achi gadol b'havan of hasichlis, in other words, that he was a very intelligent man, l'pirush ha'beis, according to the second interpretation. But the truth is that they're both true. He was an important person in government, and he was also an important person in religion. Notwithstanding all of this honor and respect that he had and the comfort that he had, he came to the Midbar. So that's what the Torah is trying to describe, his importance. So according to this explanation, that Yisrael was a great, very intelligent person. Now we understand what the Zohar says, that it's only by him acknowledging Hashem that the Torah was finally able to be given. The Isa b'Zohar, because the Zohar says, Ala posig v'ra'isi ani sh'yesh risinoin l'chochma v'nasichlus. The pasuk that says, Shlomo HaMelech says, I have seen that there is, wisdom is greater than foolishness. Of course, it doesn't mean that literally that he finally came to understand, the wisest man of the world finally came to understand that wisdom is greater than foolishness. That's not what it means. There are many explanations for this. One of the explanations is that if you want to have, when you have chachma shebekdusha, true, holy wisdom, but you want to get to the real depth of that chachma, to the highest point of that chachma, the yisrin of that chachma, Nimshach ba dafke min hasichlus, it comes dafke from within foolishness. V'hainu sh'ayidei abiru shel chochma d'lumazeh, meaning to say, what is this foolishness referring to? The chochma of the world, of l'umazeh, that's called sichlus in comparison to the chochma of kedusha of Torah. So in order to get to the yisra in ha-chochma, it has to come from sichlus, meaning to say, when you are mevader, you elevate the chachma of sichlus, then you get to the true nature of chachma of kedusha. Shehiya nikra sichlus, as I said, the chachma de lomazeh is called sichlus, v'nimtza, so it comes out, the kasher yisrei shayu chacham gadol b'chachma de lomazeh, when yisrei, he was very intelligent, when it came to chachma de lomazeh, bol ilmei teira, when he came to study teira, b'omar, and he said, he acknowledged, that Hashem is greater than all other than all the greatest of God, as Rashi said. This elevated the Chachma of Lu'umazeh. He represented Chachma of Lu'umazeh. And when he came to acknowledge Hashem, this elevated that state. Until it transformed all of his intelligence into Chachma Dikdusha. And therefore, from this sichlus, from this chachmad l'umazeh, which now was elevated through Yisrael's acknowledging Hashem, this brought an additional earth of chachma to the chachma of kedusha. Alachem dafke hayda asish al Yisrael, and therefore it's dafke his acknowledging Hashem. Shemekivan shemshicha Yisrael erba chachma dikdusha, since this kind of acknowledgement from the person who represented the height or the depth of Chachmad l'Umazeh, he acknowledged the truth of Kedusha, therefore it elevated all that to Chachmad l'Umazeh, and it brought an additional power to Chachmad of Kedusha. He shepala esa inyan de nesinus ha-teira, and it caused such a great addition to Chachmad of Kedusha that it was able to bring about that it was now ready, the world was now ready for Nesinus HaTorah Shechachmas Yisbarach, which is of course the wisdom of Hashem that is able to come down Lamata, Shel Lazet Sarach Liyas Hamshacham Mamakam Nailu Yeser. In order to be able to bring this about, it has to come from a very high place. How high was that place? It's the place where Yisrei, through his elevated status in Chachmad L'Umazeh, acknowledging Hashem, it reached up into a place where it was able to bring down a very high level of revelation of Kedusha, of Chochmah of Elikus, till it was able to bring to Nesinus HaTorah. Amnam Harei Yadua, however, we know Be'inyin HaChana Le'eza Inyin, that whenever there is something that needs to be done as a preparation for something else, that the preparation has to be somehow related to the thing to which you're preparing, and therefore it's called a preparation for that thing. Bimkein, and therefore, ze gufa deirish bir, this needs to be understood. Mawa inyan bebirur hachachma del umma ze, shabai val yodu hachachma l'matantayra matantayra. What is it about? The elevating chachma del umma ze, or refining chachma del umma ze, that is what brings to Chachma to Chachma Kedusha, to Matan Torah. How is that the thing which can prepare the world for Chachma of Matan Torah, or Matan Torah? Acha Inyan. But what it is the Hinei Mavur B'Kama Mekayim, is it's explained in a number of places. Before Matan Torah, what happened? Gazar Kosh Baruch Hu Ba'amar Shemayim Shemayim Lashem Baruch Sos and Livnei Adam. Earlier, Hashem decreed that the heavens belong to Hashem and the earth was given to people, and the two don't mix. That's my world, this is your world. The people from down here don't go up to Hashem's world. Hashem doesn't come down into the physical world, and so on. And when Eibishter wanted to give the Torah, Batal Gzeira Rishayna, he did away with the original state of affairs. And he said that now the ones from below, the people and so on, Gashmias, can elevate itself to the worlds above, to the spiritual worlds. And the upper worlds, the spiritual worlds, will be able to come down and penetrate the world. Hainu, Shabamatan Torah Nase is Chabrus Hamayla Ba'amata, that through Matan Torah it brought a connection between the upper and the lower. Shatachten Oilab Nichol Ba'al Ha'elyan, that the lower are able to go up and be included, absorbed into the upper worlds, the spiritual worlds. Okein Ze, and in a similar way, Yuabiru Shal Chachmad L'Umazen, this is actually a similar thing to what happened when Yisrael L'Umaz, the Chachmad L'Umazen, was Nizbarer, Bechinus Atachna B'Yosef, he was, of course, represented the depth of Chachmad L'Umazah, Va'aliyasa B'Chachma L'Yayna, and he brought it up, all this that he represented, he brought it up into acknowledgement of Hashem, that it came up to there, V'Lachin HaReza Achanu L'Mizim Matan Torah. Therefore, if Matan Torah is trying to accomplish that from below, the below should be able to reach above, and Yisrael did something that was very similar to that, therefore that was the proper hachana to Matan Torah. Uba hachana zu l'matan Torah, Dalet, uba hachana zu l'matan Torah yidei birir hachochma d'lum hazeh, and through this preparation to Matan Torah, through refining the chochma d'lum hazeh, yesh Yisrael gam ala hachana l'matan Torah chedei kriyas yamsuf. This kind of hachana, preparation for Matan Torah, even has a certain element which is even a greater preparation than Kriyas Yamsuf itself. What was the preparation of Kriyas Yamsuf? Dina Yadua, the Gam Kriyas Yamsuf, Inin Achibed Elyon Tachten. We know that Kriyas Yamsuf was also a similar thing, the bringing together of the upper worlds and the lower worlds. Kumavur Bakama Makaymas, as it's explained, Shabbat Kriyas Yamsuf Nase Chibur Da'almedis Kasye. That by Kriyas Yamsuf, what happened was there was a coming together, a merging of the world which is covered, which is represented by the Yam, the Almed Izgalya, and the world which is revealed, which is represented by dry land. Why is that? In the Gemara says that everything that there is on dry land, there also exists its counterpart in the sea, under the water. But under the water, you don't see any of that. You just see the water. That's all you see. On dry land, you see everything in its individual state. So this is the concealed world. This is the revealed world. Everything is the same, only here it's concealed, here it's revealed. And what happened by Kriyas Yamsuf? by Kriyas Yamsuf, the underwater world was exposed and revealed. it revealed everything which is normally represented by the covered world, and that is an allusion to Ruchnius, because Ruchnius, we don't know what's going on any beyond, because we don't see it. So it's a covered world to us who live in this world. Ruchnius is a completely covered world to us. We see the Gashmi is the good world. So what happened was that by Kriyas Yamsuf, that which normally is covered became revealed. And this kind of coming together of the revealed world and the concealed world by Kriyas Yamsuf also was accomplished in both ways, as the Medrash describes. Milmaila lamata, from above to below. In other words, that the world above descended into the world below. Milmata lamaila, and the world from below was able to elevate itself to the world above. And in what way? Hamshachas alma diskasya. The hidden worlds, the alma disgalya, being brought into the revealed world. And the elevation of the revealed world to the world of, to the place where the world is concealed, meaning that Gashmius was elevated to Ruchnius, and Ruchnius came down into Gashmius. In other words, if we understand that, what was behind Kriyas Yamsuf, we understand that this is a similar thing, and therefore to what Matan Torah represents, the coming together of Amadis, of the upper worlds and the lower worlds. So Kriyas Yamsov also serves as a preparation for Matan Torah. And even so, Loi Hoya Daiba Chonazu, it wasn't enough. Kriyas Yamsov wasn't enough of Achonel Matan Torah, the Loi Nitna Torah, and the Torah was not actually given Achava Yisrei Bahida until Yisrei came along. And he brought out a deeper sense of the coming together of the upper worlds and the lower worlds, even more than Kriyas Yamsuf. And only then was Torah able to be given. Until not only was the neutral world elevated, but even the world below, meaning to say Lu'umazeh, even that was elevated through Yisrei. The reason for this can be said. That even though it's true that the coming together of the upper and the lower that was accomplished through Kriyas Yamsuf took place in every single world, on every level, from the highest levels to the lowest levels, what was missing from this connection, even though it included every level, what was not included was hatachten shebedargis haktusha ela hatachten shebedargis haktusha gufa. What was included in this was only the lowest levels in the worlds of Ketusha. Even down here, even the worlds Ketusha as it exists in this world, the Yidden and so on. But this elevation, this coming together was by Kriyas Yamsuf, did not reach into the Lu'umazeh, into the negative place. The Masha Mitzrim Tuva B'Yamsuf, the fact that the Mitzrim were drowned in the sea, you would think that that is that's a birur, that we dealt with the Mitzrim. No, Ein Zeh Shem Nizbarav Nizdachu. That doesn't mean that they were elevated and refined. All that did was destroy them. If they weren't able to be in Kedusha, so then they don't exist at all. They were destroyed. But to elevate it, that didn't happen by Kriyas Yamsuf. The Mitzrayim were not elevated through Kriyas Yamsuf. Umatam said, and for this reason, and since Lu'umazeh, the negative forces, were not yet able to be refined through Kriyas Yamsuf, this is what allowed that Amalek, because we never dealt with Klippa, the only thing that we did to Klippa by Kriyas Yamsuf was destroy it. The ones that we came into contact with, we destroyed. I mean, the Abish are destroyed, but they were destroyed. Now Amalek was able to come along and still be loichem against the Yidden. Because you could ask the question, since this revelation of Kriyas Yamsuf reached all the way up into the very highest levels, V'gam l'mata b'olam hazeh, and even on, in this world, had a loizel b'vatcha seifa l'matzeifa, shamu amim. Not only that it was heard from the one end of the world to the other end of the world, all the nations heard about it. Shmu azu the Kriyas Yamsa, they heard about Kriyas Yamsa. Ela shagam ro, not only did they hear about it, they even saw it directly. They saw the miracle b'enei basa with their own eyes, ki nifku kol hamei mishabayilam, because all the waters in the whole world split. So every person on the world, from one end of the other world, saw Kriyas Yamsa. But Aydiyah said, and even more, shagilizeh pal b'hem bitl b'shvira, that this revelation, this coming face to face with that miracle, it completely nullified them and broke them. As it says in the pasuk, shamu amim yirgazun, the nations heard and they were troubled. In the meigu kol yeshishnan, they melted in fear, all the people of Canaan. So it broke them. So all the nations were afraid to go to war with the Yidden. If that happened through Kriyas Yamsuf, how is it possible? How is it possible that Amalek still came along to conduct war against the Yidden? But the reason is, as we mentioned before, since Lu'umaze was not refined, was not elevated in any way through Kriyas Yamsuf. Only for that moment, while it was going on, they were completely broken and afraid. It caused a shvira, a crushing, and a bittul in the ability for klipa to spread and to spread its wings and so on. So the klipa was not able to do anything at that time. It was neutralized. It was crippled for the moment, for that time of Kriyas Yamsuf. Aval etzema klipa, so that's the hispashtus of klipa, was not able to spread out. It was not able to rise up. Aval etzema klipa nishubis nagdus olakuz, but the klipa itself remained its own metzias of klipa, which means it's contrary to olakus. It opposes olakus. Ma'ach shalein is dachav gam lein is battle, because it was not elevated, refined, and it wasn't even his battle. It was just temporarily kept in check. B'meila v'yavi amolek v'yelochem im Yisrael, and therefore after Kriyas Yamsa was over, so Amolek, who still remains Amolek, came back and wanted to wage war. So in other words, we see that Kriyas Yamsa was not as a complete and thorough transformation of Klippa, because Klippa raised its head shortly after. So there, now we understand why Matan Torah was not yet ready, even after Kriyas Yamsuf and that preparation for Matan Torah, so at least a partial preparation, and it didn't come as a result of the Kedusha of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Yidden, because they did not deal with Klippa, with elevating Klippa. Until Yisri came along and he acknowledged that Hashem is greater than all, Hashem is great. Ki dafke boy val yode nasa abirur vazichuch shal asichlus do ulum hazeh v'nasa yisrim b'chochme diktusha, because it was only through Yisri, the depth of Klippa, after he acknowledged, so therefore the sichlus, the foolishness of chochme of ulum hazeh, was able to add that Yisrein, that added dimension to the Chochmah of Kedusha. And this connection between the lowest levels and the highest levels, who achanu matan Torah, that is the true achanu for matan Torah. Now, according to all of this, yuvan b'yeinishol Torah, we understand at least in the inner dimension of Torah, mashukosav Rashi, that which Rashi said. Mashmua shama uba. What is it that Yisrael heard? It says Vayishma Yisrael. He heard and everything that Hashem did for the Yidden. So Rashi says, what did he hear? What was it that motivated him to come? And he answers, Kriyas Yamsuv u'mlachamas Amalek. he heard the two things of Kriyas Yamsuf and Mochanas Hamoli. V'yadu Akasha, and it's known, the well-known question. Haloi Shoma Yisrei v'yodim makol anisim agdol shuvitzias Mitzrayim. Yisrei heard the whole gamut of miracles that happened throughout the whole story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why didn't he, you know, Dam, Tzvardeya, Kinim, Marim, Makav, Chayrus? There was all kinds of things that happened, and that didn't encourage him to come. Ela Yideshmu Azu, only when it came to Kriyas Yamsuf and Mechamas Hamolig, that's what finally convinced him to come. Why? Then another question. My time is Shemedayig Belushayne Leimer Umulchemas Hamolig. Why does Rashi say that when he heard about the war of Hamolig, then he came? Shemadgish Mulchamtish Al Hamolig. He says, Rashi emphasizes, he heard about the war of Amalek. Why doesn't it say he heard about the victory of the Yidden over Amalek? Not that he heard about the war. The war is not something that motivates you to come. The victory of the Yidden over Amalek, that should motivate him to come. You should have said the victory of the Yidden or the defeat of Amalek. In other words, addressing the miracle that happened. But based on what we said now, we understand why Rashi says it that way. It's dafke these two things that Yisrei heard, which is Kriyas Yamsuf. Hainu, she'inin achibar v'elyin detachten efshari v'hu v'gam nasa b'poyel. First of all, he heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, which means he heard that it's possible to bring together the upper worlds and the lower worlds. That was a new thing. That was only the first time, I guess, in a certain sense, that there was a hachana like this, that there is an allowance for the lower worlds to be able to elevate themselves to the higher worlds, and the higher worlds to come down to the lower worlds, as it happened in Kriyas Yamsuf. Yisrael said, oh, it is possible that there should be a coming together of physical and spiritual. And not only is it possible, but it actually happened. Oh, and then he heard another thing, Mulchemes Amalek. He heard about the war of Amalek, the Mechiach. That proved him, showed him, the Achibar Adayin Einem Shlim Musay. That even though there is a possibility, and it even happened to some degree, but it hasn't been complete yet. It hasn't really happened yet. It's not complete because Amalek still went to war, which means even though there was a coming together of Elyon Tachton, still there remained an Amalek. And they can even have the chutzpah to go to war. Ki adayin haklipa misnagedes, because the klipa is still there in its full opposition. V'lachem ba Yisrael, and therefore he came along, he said, now I understand what my job is. He came along, v'hoidu l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and he acknowledged Hashem. Zeisemeres, in other words, he came along, l'sakenu l'hashlamas achibur, he said, I need to do my part, and that's going to complete this process. Which is, I'm going to bring together the upper and the lower in such a way that it will complete the mission. By bringing together the Bir V'zichel L'umazeh Shalei Hushlam Ad Oz, which had not been completed till then, that even L'umazet should be elevated from its lowest depth, V'mei L'muven Adiyuk, therefore we understand now, Shadafke Shmuz Mulchemes Amalek, that Rashi is being specific here. What he heard, it wasn't the defeat of Amalek that convinced him. It was the fact that Amalek chose to go to war that convinced him that he has to come along and he has to complete the job. Hushi v'yes Yisrael, that's what brought him to the Midbar v'lo yanitzachon shel Yisrael b'mechamas hu, not the fact that the Yidden defeated Amalek. Then through this we'll understand also inyan adayrish beir, something else that needs explanation. Hine yadua, we know a klal shaseder tzarachlius ba'efen shel ma'ilu mekaydish. The order of kedusha is always that we need to grow in holiness. You have to go up always in kedusha. Malachas kamav kabav shebezeh ha'efen haya seder inyanim shel ben yisrael b'meshach hazman shebein yitzias mitzrayim matan teira. Certainly, as we know, that the gradual process of when the Yidden came out of Mitzrayim until they reached Matan Torah was also that kind of a trajectory. Everything was going up, constantly going higher and higher through the as he explains, Sheyotzuma Memta Sharetuma, they left, the beginning of the process was they left Mitzrayim, which means they left from the 49th level of Tumah. And then they grew day by day through the period of Sfirus HaOmer, until they were ready for Matan Torah. But in that same period, in the middle of Sfirus HaOmer, in other words, in the middle of that growth process, it was also Gam Milchamas HaMolech came along, this Milchamas HaMolech, which certainly Shagarma Yerida Gdoila Madagasim Shul Bnei Yisrael, that certainly dragged them down. Atcha Milcham Alavai BaMolech Medor Dor, it was such a war that caused such a descent in Kedusha that it became an eternal war against HaMolech. That's how great an effect he had. And therefore, it had to be always have to be on constant watch for HaMolech, because that's what it does. So that was a great descent when the trajectory was constantly going up. How did that happen? Well, Pia Nal Yis Yashe, but based on this, we can explain it. Mikiv and Shem Milchamas HaMolech Yasiba Lazichuch Va'Birud L'Umazad Al Yidei Yisrael. Since it took Milchamas HaMolech to be able to reach the true level of elevating Lu'umazet, Yisrei had to see and become convinced that there was a problem going on, that he needed to fix it. Shehu Iliv and Gilui Naila Yisrei, and that this led to an even greater revelation. Afilim Agili the Kriyas Yamsuf, even something greater than Kriyas Yamsuf. So Nimsa Shegam Milchemes HaMolech, Yisuf Sof Chelik Ma'aliyah. So it comes out that Milchemes HaMolech was also another stepping stone to reach this great aliyah that was accomplished through Yisrael, which led to Matan Torah. Achana Achi Krevel Matan Torah, and the final and the closest achana, the most, the one that simulated Matan Torah to the closest degree, and therefore now it was, we were ready for the actual Matan Torah. Well, Pia now. So based on this, Yevur Mashomer Razal, it explains what our sages tell us. Shagnayu l'meisha v'shishim ribu shalei omru baruch ha'sheh v'yisir v'omru baruch ha'shem. So now we go back to the original medrash, that it is uncomplimentary to Moshe and the Yidden that they didn't say baruch until Yisrael came along and said it. Baruch hu meloshanam shocha. Baruch, the word baruch, as we well know, means to draw down. U'koloshan hazal ha'mavich ha'sagefen, as we know from the Gemara or the Mishnah, that if somebody... what it means is he takes a branch from one vine, a grapevine, and he puts it into the ground. In other words, he extends the vine into a second vine, and so on. So the word mavrich means to draw down. Ubaruch Hashem, and Ubaruch Hashem pirushay hamshocha sabayis. So Baruch Hashem means to draw down Hashem, elukus. In other words, that the gilui er that the yidden and Moshe and the yidden accomplished through their shira, although it's on a very great level, it was not yet on the level that Yisrael was able to accomplish, that it should be that the Eibishter is drawn down to the Kol Elokim, meaning down to the very lowest level, to elevate even the lowest level. In other words, the ultimate Hamshocha, that it reaches down to the very lowest levels possible. Because as a fact it is that the Metzias of Lu'umazeh, for instance, HaMolech, was not elevated through their Aveda yet. Kedugmas Avedas HaTzadikim, as would be in the case of Avedas HaTzadikim, that they don't get to reach down into Klippa. Ad Shebay Yisrei Va'oma Baruch Hashem, until Yisrei came and he said Baruch Hashem Shal Yodei HaYagilui Elyon Te'er Havaya, through him Dafke was the revelation of this higher level of Eir Havaya, V'tachos Flemez HaMshocha, and that he was able to draw down all the way Ad LaTachtam Yezer, until the very lowest levels, which were elevated through his acknowledgement of Hashem. And only then was the Torah given, which is the ultimate of bringing together the upper and the lower. I'm not sure why the Medrash uses the term that it's uncomplimentary. It could say that they didn't reach that level. Not sure. What is the lesson to each and every one of us from this story? We know that Matan Torah actually is reenacted every single day. As the Bracha says, presently he gives the Torah, not that he gave the Torah. And this, the preparation for the Matan Torah of today, is that we have to know Hashem in every way. Everything in our lives have to be dedicated to Hashem. That we have to be connected and attached to Hashem. That's what means, the Ehu Das means Hischabrus. The word Das means to connect and attach. We have to be connected to Hashem, lo yirak b'inyan ikdusha, not only in matters of holiness, but in everything that we do. Gam mal yidei inyan irishus, even the mundane things that we do. The lo yirak b'inyan irishus akrelim l'kdusha, and not only those things which are neutral, but they're close to kdusha, elagam b'inyan irishus arachaykim ikdusha, even those things that we have to do which are distant from kdusha. B'dugma lo melechanas ha-molek, shagam hi hoysa yidei taitza asa, as we know that sometimes you have to grapple with Amalek, sometimes you have to go get down and dirty with Amalek, but even that is ultimately a method by which we can get closer to the Eibishter, as the story of Amalek was what prepared us for Matan Torah. And even then we have to be b'chol drachecha da'eyu, even in that kind of activity. Ulam lifnezet tzarachlias aveda dekriyas yamsa, but before we get to that dealing with the world, you have to first go through Kriyas Yamsuf, Avayda Binyan Shav Kedusha Kanal, to do our Avayda in holy matters. That's how it begins. And that's what gives us the power and the ability to be able to deal with Amalek. Habir Binyan Rishus, to be able to deal with neutral, mundane things. In other words, that we have to start with Kedusha. You start the day with Kedusha. Tfilosi smucha limitasi. My davening is close to my bed, meaning to say that as soon as you get up, the first thing is davening. Ulachrei zeh mibeis haknezer lebeis hamedrash. And then after davening, you go to learn something. Verak alachrei zeh, only after all that, hanek behem midig derech eretz, only then do we get to the part of our lives, to the part of our day where we have to deal with the world. So Kriyas Yamsuf has to come before Melchanas HaMolek. Seder Adam Mechol Yoyim Yoyim. The order of the day for every person is Reishis Avedasa Miyad Kishaneir. The first thing you do as soon as you wake up, Hayda Haklolu Shel Neshama. The general acknowledgement of, that the Neshama gives Maidani Lefanecha, as expressed by Maidani. Ulacher Zeh Bo Seder Aveda De Tefila V'Limud HaTorah. Then comes the order of davening and learning, which are both in Yonik Tusha, but Achakach, Pas Shachris, and only after that comes breakfast. Elushim Rogelba, it's only that in some cases, sometimes the eating something can come before davening as well. Like if a person is used to eating first thing in the morning and so on, Achilu Kedem Alichel Beis HaMedrash, he can eat something before he goes to learn. So that he'll have the strength to be able to serve Hashem properly. Including when you go to learn, learning is something which can be endless. You don't know where it's going to stop. It could go on for a long time. So since there is no there's no time necessarily by when you'll stop, therefore you're allowed to eat before you learn. Whereas it comes by, we're talking about davening, you're not allowed to eat before davening. And then comes in Yoni Rishus, Mitchila Tzarechli is Gilu Eira Neshama. First, in other words, has to be the revelation of the light of the Neshama, Yidei Atfilu V'Torah, through davening and learning. Barak Achakach Evshalam Shich Eira D'Ktusha Gam in Yoni Megashmim. And only after that are you able to draw down that Eira of Ktusha into the material things of your life as well. This is the order of the day for most people. And the Torah generally addresses the majority. That during the rest of the day and all and open times, the that during the day and not just during the day and whatever you have free time, loyma Torah, that's when you learn Torah. But other abazo ikatama Torah shalei. In fact, that is most of the Torah that a person learns is when he has time and not in a specific time, but all the time and so on. Ki a Torah harei inyonu lafashola. Because Torah, we know, is something that you need to constantly increase and do more and more. So therefore, it's not limited to a specific time. Whenever you have time, there's more to do and so on. The Loirak Dovakavu, and not only something which is sort of fixed, for this half hour and so on. The Shavu Chol Yoyim, that it's something that should be the same every day. That's not what Torah is. Torah should be more than that. Be'eichas Bekamos, whether it's in the limited to a certain type of learning or limited in the time of learning, it shouldn't be limited. It's something that has to constantly grow and increase. But in addition to to what most people can do, which is learn at every opportunity, yeshnum kamechi, look at dargis, there are different levels. Heim yisocha veheim bezvulim, both in people that are dedicated to the study of Torah and both and also the people that are more that have to do more uvdin tovim, they have other things that they need to do, and they learn at some point. And there are those people that his matan Torah, your matan Torah, is only with learning one thing in the morning and so on. Say the Kedusha shebesay fatfilu, or even less than that, by just saying the Kedusha in Avolatzi at the end of the davening, that's considered already his learning of Torah. Or even to some people, Krishma shebetfilah. And even some people, their reading of Shema is already considered his learning. Parshas Atomid, or saying the Parshas Atomid. So in other words, even some people that are very limited in their learning of Torah and their ability to learn Torah. Oigam Parshas Birchas Kainim, even less in the brachas when you say the three lines of Birchas Kainim. Sh'achle es sh'lachre ha-brachas kailu tfilas shebehem ha-shachar. So there are different types of people, and to each one their own type of matan Torah. Avoda be'echad fanamanal, and in whatever your avoda is, whichever one of those previously mentioned avodas is your avoda, harei achanu la'gilu matan Torah. This is the proper achanu to matan Torah. Noichi avaya, that I am Hashem, nasa lekecho, I become your eibishter. Koychacha v'chayesucha yachayesecha, your strength and your life. That's what we reach through our achana by learning Torah in Matan Torah itself, what we receive in Matan Torah.